Welcome to From the Heart with Daryl Underwood, pastor of Servant's Heart Chapel in Clovis, New Mexico. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's sermon. Now here's Pastor Daryl.
Lord, 6 years. I was looking at our first group picture in church, and Tamara, besides our family, you're the only OG left. Everybody else has moved on. But 6 years ago today, roughly, I think it was the 16th. But it was back to church Sunday. We started weekly services at Servant's Heart Chapel. And I have always thought of us as a different church. We're not like the average church, for a couple different ways. First one, we're a missional church. We like to spend most of our time and energy outside these four walls in the community, having an impact on the community. Second aspect of that is everybody, nearly everybody, is involved in some way. Everybody finds a way to be a light, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. That Brother McCaslin, the guy with the beautiful white beard that I showed you a picture of, he's about to retire. He was the one I've told you about already. 30 years ago this summer, I attended a youth Bible camp in northern Arizona and was listening to a preacher preach, and he talked about how, you know, my heart was dark with sin, and I needed forgiveness. But Jesus paid the cost, paid the price for me to be forgiven. And I felt something inside me. You know what I'm talking about? That, well, something's not right. I don't feel good. I feel bad. I'm a bad person. I've done bad things before God. I need to be forgiven. And so I came forward and I knelt down at what we call an altar, just a platform. We don't have one here in this church, but we have, usually people line up on the pew, right? That serves as our altar. Kneel down, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And at that moment, the moment I asked God for forgiveness, and I said, Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life, something happened. I knew God had forgiven me, and for the first time in my life, I felt God's presence. It was like someone had hit a switch. Had just hit a switch. That was, Brother McCaslin was the one that hosted that event. And it was a great youth camp. It was so much fun. Middle of nowhere, 100 miles from the nearest town. The boys all stayed in one giant circus tent. That's where we slept, which seemed appropriate for a bunch of boys. Every night we'd have wrestling contests. It was great. But that place out there, far, so far away from civilization, when the sun went down, before the moon came up, it was pitch black. You could not see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. And there'd be porch lights on the few buildings that were on the property. And it felt like, it looked like they were just struggling to push the light out against the darkness. It's like the light would only go so far and just stop. And it was black. But man, the billions of stars. It was hard to look at any one point in the sky and not see a star. It was amazing. I've never seen that many stars before or since, but it was so dark. And because it was so dark, those lights were so important. If you wanted to get from one building to the other and you didn't have a flashlight, which most of us didn't, you had to rely on that light as a guide to get you where you need to go. Light is, we take light for granted. We really do in this day and age. Light's so easy. Just flip a switch. Our phones have built-in flashlights now, right? We all carry around. We carry around flashlights with us all the time. We're so used to it, but it's. So we get used to it, we take it for granted. There's a value to it. It's important. The story of Servant's Heart Chapel actually started back in 2008 when I found out Air Force Special Operations Command was taking over Cannon Air Force Base. I was in Florida. I thought, you know what? I may end up out here someday. And I talked to Brother Hedstrom, some of you remember him, about starting a church out here, and he was all for it. Well, I kind of forgot about it until 2012 when I got orders for here. And so 7 years ago, I was planning, preparing, working, thinking, figuring things out. How are we going to do things? How are we going to pay for things? Where should we have it? Who is my target? I believe every church has a target area. Where's my target area? And what I did when we first got here 7 years ago, I met a guy who, can't remember his name offhand now, it was a good Christian man, and I found out he worked for the post office. And I said, hey, man, I'll buy you lunch if you drive me around and show me the areas in town that don't get a lot of church attention. And he's like, sure. And so he drove me around. And when he talked about an area, I had Google Maps open, and I dropped a pin. And I started dropping pins. And when we were finished, I could tell the southwest portion, southwest quadrant of Clovis doesn't get a lot of church attention. It's also the poorer side of town, isn't it? So that's been my target area. That's what I've strived people to reach people, to help, to bless, to provide for. But as I was preparing, I was reading through the Old Testament, my daily devotions, and I came across Isaiah chapter 58. And I read, and we're going to read this passage, and we're going to go through this passage verse by verse. But I read this, and I thought, this is what I think God wants Servant's Heart Chapel to be. This is what I think the Lord wants our DNA to be. And I've strived to accomplish that. You see, before I get into verse 6 here, this is what we're going to start at. Let me give a little setting, shall I, so you kind of know where the scripture is coming from. The people of Israel were doing what they're supposed to do. They were offering sacrifices to God. They were going to church. They were praying. They were giving to the Lord. But they didn't feel like God was there for them. They didn't feel like God appreciated what they were doing. And so God's answer was, well, no. Because sure, you're putting money in the offering box, but you're also cheating your cousin. Yeah, sure, you're coming to church, but you're also letting that family down the street starve. That's what was going on. They were doing evil things and then going to church and wondering why God wasn't blessing them. And so God said this, we were fasting. Why aren't you blessed? And God said, isn't this the fast I choose? This is the fast, the kind of fast that God is pleased with. This is the sacrifice, fasting as in sacrifice. When you're giving something up for the Lord, that can be a fast. Isn't this a fast I choose? to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to tear off every yoke. So there's the first thing that I noticed God wanted us to do at Servant's Heart Chapel, to set people free, to preach the gospel, to say, you don't have to be addicted to drugs. You don't have to be addicted to alcohol. You don't have to be overwhelmed with bitterness and anger for what somebody has done to you. Jesus can set you free. All you have to do is confess and forsake your sins and say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, and he'll set you free. The Bible says he makes you a new creation. And when I knelt down that day 30 years ago, he made a new creation. The old Darrell was gone. All things were new. So we set people free. I want to preach Jesus, preach him and his sacrifice. Verse 7, God continues, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? So the second thing we're going to do, Servant's Heart Chapel, we're going to feed the hungry. And we do that. For years we had an emergency food provision service here. We call it Hungry Hearts. Because the food pantries around here, there was a time where there was only a couple of them, and they were only open one day. Well, one was open every other week. The other one was open every once a week. And so people could go for several days without food. And we said, that's not acceptable. And so we're a small church, right? We can't afford to give people a bunch of food. But hey, I can give your family enough food to hold you over for a few days, so you have something to eat. And we did that until Salvation Army ran us out of business, because they got some new lieutenants there, and they were on fire, and they had a food pantry open every day. And I'm happy. And so we shut it down. But the need is ever there. We're ready to go. We can start it up on a moment's notice. Meanwhile, people have come to us. Hey, we really could do some food, so I'll buy them like a Lowe's gift card, so they can go to the grocery store and buy some groceries. We still do that, sir. We feed people. Nobody goes hungry. The Servant's Heart Chapel, especially our own people, we take care of our own. So we feed the hungry. The next clause in verse 7, to bring the poor and homeless into your house. We shelter the homeless. Don't we, Emmett? At Servant's Heart Chapel, we take care of people. I remember Andrew. I wish Andrew was in church. He's not. We're still praying for him. But when he got out of jail back in 2014, yeah. I think it was 2014. I'm sorry, my year's mixed up now, man. Wow. When he got out of jail in February of 2014, he had nowhere to go. He was homeless. And this is when we were still on Mitchell Street. And we had a storeroom in there. I knew we had a cot in the storeroom. I said, well, you're welcome to sleep in our storeroom. I got a cot in there you can sleep on. And that's what he did for about a month. While he found a job and raised money and was able to get a place. But I didn't miss the irony at the time. He wanted nothing to do with God. And the man who wanted nothing to do with God was staying at God's house. We've helped people. We've helped B'nai. And that's the lady Pat. I don't want ladies to end up on the street. So we help. We've help move people. That's what we do at Servant's Heart Chapel. Next clause in verse 7, to clothe the naked when you see him. So we clothe the naked. We buy clothes for people. Servant's Heart Chapel, we've done that. Bought coats. Church clothes. Some people don't feel comfortable. Feel like they have to, they can't come to, they feel uncomfortable coming to church in their normal day-to-day clothes. So we buy them something a little nicer. They feel a little better about coming to church. And not to ignore your own flesh and blood. Our own families. We take care of them. But in that those two verses, we have four things Servant's Heart Chapel does. We set people free, we feed the hungry, we shelter the homeless, we clothe the naked. And what I love is the next verse, God gives a promise. Then your light will appear like the dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. Your light, the light of Christ in your life, will shine. And I love the Lord's glory. Well, rear guard, yeah. In the military, we have a term, having somebody six. That's an important spot. It's behind them. When you have, come on for a second. When you're on patrol, right? You're the guy, you're the point guy. And it becomes that way, you're the first one to get shot, so pay attention. Okay. The guy in the back is just as important as the guy in front. The guy in the back is paying attention to what's coming behind them. Because you can't see behind you, right? You don't have eyes behind your head. So you need somebody to watch your back. And it's 6, as in 6 o'clock. And so I've got your 6. Go ahead and sit down, son. I've got your 6 is a common term with the military. I've got your back. God has our 6. Did you know that? Whatever you can't see, whatever you can't understand, you don't know what's going to happen, to include the future, right? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God's got that taken care of. That's His responsibility. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 9, at that time when you call, the Lord will answer. And when you cry out, He will say, here I am. I want the Lord to hear me. I want to know God's near. Then we begin a series of, you'll see if, we're going to begin a series of if-then statements. Anybody familiar with if-then statements? All right. Programming? Yeah? Where'd you hear about if-then statements? Okay. It wasn't programming class? That's the heart. Okay. If in programming languages, all your apps, there's a series of instructions. Every time you open up an app or use a computer program of some kind, there's a series of instructions that program follows. That's how it knows what to do and when to do it. Otherwise, it'd be a complete mess or it wouldn't work at all. the heart of programming is the if-then statement. If you have this condition, then something will happen. The Bible's full of if-then statements. And this is one of those series where God says, you know, there's conditional love and there's unconditional love, but there are conditional blessings, right? God says, if you follow certain things, I'm going to bless you. So let's look at that. If you get rid of the yoke among you, the yoke is in trying to control other people. Yoke. A yoke is a harness, a way of controlling an animal for farming. Talking about controlling other people, keeping. One of their problems is, so for thousands of years, employment was indentured servitude. You sign up with somebody to work for them for a number of years. Let's say 10 years. Let's say I sign up to be your butler for 10 years. Okay, for the next 10 years, I belong to you. And you know, my work hours are decided by you. What food I get is decided by you. All that. But I'm a service to you for 10 years. When that 10 years is done, then my obligation is fulfilled and I can move on. Okay. Nowadays, the really only places you really see that is in the military. You sign up for 4 to 6 years, and at that moment, you belong to the U.S. government. And until your contract is fulfilled. What was happening back then is, let's say I did for 10 years and my 10 years comes up and you say, well, I'm not going to let you go. Then it becomes what we would call slavery, right? I'm being forced to continue working for you. And that, God is against that. God is, the Bible is not pro-slavery. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but it's not true. So if you take the, and then it goes, continues on, the finger pointing and malicious speaking. Well, you did that. You did that to me, and it's all your fault. You won't believe the way she talked to me. You don't believe the way he acted. And malicious talking is that. You look on Facebook. You'll see wonderful, lots of examples of malicious talk. That, what's that? Yeah. Malicious talk. If you get rid of that, and if you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, if you help those in need, then that was the if statement, right? If you fulfill these conditions, then this is what's going to happen. Your light will shine in the darkness. That is the promise. Your light, you know, by the way, we take this advantage, this world we live in is actually steeped in spiritual darkness. They're blind. They're miserable. They're unhappy. And then you show up and something's different about you. It's like one of my favorite Christian songs, Shine. You shine. You shine in the darkness, and your night will be like noonday. You're going to stand out. Other people are going to notice you. They're going to wonder, what's different about you? Why? There's something about, you know, that Cody guy? There's something about him. Yeah, I heard he doesn't drink. He's kind of a nerd. But there's something about him. I want to know what it is. The Lord will always lead you. The Lord will always lead you. Not sometimes, not most of the time, but always. And direction of life, you're not sure where to take the next step, wait. Just stop where you're at and wait for direction, because the Bible says the Lord will always lead you. The Lord has always led me. Here's how I live life. I pray about it. I do what I think God wants me to do. And if I'm wrong, that direction usually just shuts down. I'm unable to go that direction. I remember when we first started the church over on Mitchell Street. God was just providing. We needed, you know, money for one thing, it just showed up. We needed money for something else, it just showed up. It was wonderful. And then one of the things I wanted to do, at the time we had a nursery that was kind of towards the back of the building. I don't know if you remember, Tamira, the nursery was down the hall from the sanctuary. So if your mother with young children, with babies, once you left, you couldn't hear anything going on. You couldn't take part at all. It was just you and the baby in that room. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to do a closed circuit video system that allowed the mom to still participate in the church service, even if she had to go take care of baby in the nursery. But for some reason, I couldn't raise the funds. Just all of a sudden, couldn't raise it. And then a month or so later, we found out that the owner of the building we were at decided he wanted to sell the building. And so if I had gotten that, we paid, it was like over $1,000 for everything. That would have been money wasted because we no longer need it. Another thing was just getting that building on Mitchell Street. I looked and looked. For 9 months, I looked for a building. It was getting closer to our start date. And we were going to launch. The first service was actually in June of 2013. We did 3 preview services, one in June, one in July, one in August. And then September, we started weekly services. In June, so it's come June, I'm getting nervous. We have a website. I refer to myself as the pastor of Servant's Heart Chapel. And then somebody asks, well, where's your church at? I'm like, well, we don't have a location just yet. We don't have a congregation just yet. We don't have anything except for a website. But I was looking, I couldn't find anything. It was either way too expensive or would not work at all for a church. But I just kept trusting in God. And then we found this place completely by accident. I was on 7th Street, getting ready to turn left back to base. I had a meeting there, and I was leaving. I was going back to base. And for the first time ever, and it's never happened since then, I had this hole on 7th Street. I just had this nonstop stream of cars. They just kept coming and coming and coming. And after a few minutes, I was like, well, I guess I'll just turn right. And so I turned right on 7th Street and then turned right again on Mitchell Street to go down and start heading back to base. Well, I saw a realtor's office on Mitchell Street. I thought, you know what? I've been wanting to talk to a realtor. So I pulled the car off and I get out of the car and I'm walking down the sidewalk towards a realtor's office. And for no reason at all, Tim, I just stopped and I just turned. And I was standing right in front of what would be our first church location. It was a retail space for rent. And I saw that, and I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. And I saw that the people renting it out were the ones just down a few feet away. So I went over and went in and talked to them. And I found that building in mid-April. We got into it the very first of May of 2013. And that gave us a month to completely remodel the place and set it up for a church. We barely had time. We were doing the finishing touches on the Saturday night before our first service. If we had gotten it earlier, I would have got it, but we weren't ready to start church yet, so we would have rented it out and wasted money while it sat empty. If we had gotten it much later, we wouldn't have had time to do what we needed to do to get it ready. God's clock keeps perfect time. And that's what he did for us. He will always lead us. God led me. I was looking for a church, and God led me to find a location. God will always satisfy you. Next clause there. Lord will lead you, satisfy you in a parched land. The world is devoid of spiritual water. God will provide that to you. And he'll strengthen your bones. You ever felt tired? God will strengthen you. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never run dry. Some of you will rebuild the ancient ruins . You'll restore the foundations laid long ago. You'll be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets where people live. This is another thing that I really saw our church being. We're a church of restoration. We help restore lives. We help the broken values people have had, broken dreams. And the walls, that's your protection. You need that in your life. And so God used us to help build up people's protection, their values. And we'll be known as a repairer of the breach at Servant's Heart Chapel. This passage spoke to me as a Christian. I wanted Servant's Heart Chapel. This is our DNA. I wanted us to be a light. And I didn't want just Daryl Underwood to be a light. I wanted every person who's a part of Servant's Heart Chapel to be a light. I challenge you today to be a light. And you can't be a light if the light of Christ is not in your life. Because we're not a light of ourselves. We reflect the light of Christ. If your heart's not right with God, if you're involved in sin, you need to reject that and surrender to Christ, who is the source of light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And Jesus is that source of light. If you look over in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I can promise you, If you will follow Jesus, you'll never walk in darkness. You'll never be confused. You'll never stumble around. You'll have the light of life. We need Jesus. And maybe you were a light at one time, but your light has grown dark. It's grown dim. Maybe you said no to God a while ago, and you kind of drifted away from Him because of that. I want to challenge you to return to that light. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come, let us discuss this, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they'll be like wool." Don't be afraid to talk to the Lord. Don't be afraid to surrender to Him. God's not going to beat you up. I don't know. We tend to think of God. Many tend to think of God as having the same attributes as their father, their earthly father. So if your father was abusive, you tend to think God is abusive. If your father was angry, you tend to think God is angry easily. But that's not true. God is not like man in that way. God is merciful and forgiving, and if you're seriously wanting to correct your things in your life, it becomes your champion. Becomes your closest friend and ally. The Lord wants to restore His relationship with you. We need to be a light. We need to be a light in the home. What are the name of being a light? Being a light is showing the attitude and behaviors that Christ shows. And being a light is having the same priorities that God has. So saying attitude and behaviors of Christ, not having a bad attitude, that's not being a light. Having a bad behavior, being involved in sin, is not being a light. Putting things before God is not being a light. I want to challenge you to be a light. And so you need to do that. And we need to be a light in the home. Be a light with our children. Be a light with our spouses. To forgive continually, right? We need a lot of forgiveness with our loved ones, don't we? A lot of long-suffering, forgiveness, and patience. You knew that cry, didn't you? Being a light in the home. Having a good attitude. It's easy to put on a face in public and come to church and, "Oh, everything's fine." I saw people like that. I had an aunt and uncle that would bring us with them to church, which was good, except I would see them put on a facade in the church, and they pretend, "Oh, I love Jesus, and I love the Lord, it's so amazing and wonderful." And then they get home, and there was anger and meanness with their children, with each other. And I would witness that. I'm like, well, that's, even at 7 years old, I'm like, that's not right. And even to this day, there's one particular song, there's one hymn that I actually have a hard time listening to because that was their go-to song for singing specials. And I hear them singing, I know what fakes they were. We need to be a light to home too. It starts at home. Our kids watch us. My mom didn't get saved till she was 50. I'm so glad she got saved. But she would try to teach me Christian values without herself being a Christ follower. It doesn't work, by the way. I thought it was a joke. I didn't take it seriously. It's not do as I say, not as I do. Okay? Behave for your children as you would have them behave for the Lord. They're going to see that. They're going to pay attention to your actions much more than your words. Be a light. Be a light at work. Yes. Okay.
And a day or two ago, she made a joke when I did laugh. And she literally said, "It's like you're a completely different person."
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you were with a friend that knew you before you were saved, and she made a joke that was obviously inappropriate, and you didn't laugh, and she realized that there's something very different about you. That is being a light. Absolutely. Very good. And you do that being a joke. So one thing, be a light at work, home. We also have to be a light at work, at around you, people that you work with. They're going to make jokes about you. They're going to be snide sometimes. They may even give you a hard time, which I've had. I had one guy who was a former Christian, and I think it just bugged him that I was a Christian. And so he would start harassing me. And I've had people that would in groups, like one group of guys I was with, and they were talking about going and drinking that weekend, and oh, we're gonna have a blast, we're gonna, you know, get drunk and do this and do that, and can't wait. And then later that day, I was working with a guy, just me and him, as one of the guys in this group, and me, us together, no one around us. And then out of the blue, he says, "I know I'm not living right." What? I'm just trying to put this part on. I know I'm not living right. I grew up in church. I know what's right. And so I talked to him. I've had that happen in various forms. People aren't going to go to you if you're not a light. If you want opportunities to lead someone to Christ, you got to be different. You got to be that light in the darkness. You can't just go along with the crowd. You can't let fear of others control your behavior. Say, "You're going to do that? That's fine. I don't care. I'm not doing that." I remember in NCO Academy, they started asking us a bunch of ethics questions. Now, the world has a very different view of ethics than Christ. And so they asked us, if you agree with a statement, you go to one side of the room. If you disagree, you go to the other side of the room. And I only remember one question. I wish I'd written them all down. I only remember one question. One question was, you would steal food for your family. Everybody went over. I went over here. No, I wouldn't do that. And they just looked at me like I was some kind of nut. But you see, I know one thing. I know God takes care of his own. I know that. I've seen it time and time again. I don't need to steal food. I'm not going to sin to take care of my family. And they just thought that was really weird. And then that continued. I ended up standing by myself the whole time. And one guy started getting mad at me. He thought I was just being belligerent. And I was like, no. This is what I believe. I felt there was a time, Karina, there was a time I would have felt very awkward being by myself. But at that point, I was in my walk with the Lord. When you walk with the Lord long enough, you're like, you don't care. I'd like some people to be with me, but I'm certainly feeling no pressure to be with them because I've been over there. I've been over here with the hurt and the pain and the hopelessness and the crying at night as I lay down, just the absolute despair. I've done that. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. So I'm by myself. And I'm happy. You know, that same group, that was right after I got sanctified. And I was on a spiritual mountaintop during that time. And I was away from my family, so I go back to my room. I ruined myself. And I would spend the evening in the Bible and in prayer and just in God's presence every night. And I was so excited. And I would come to class the next morning, and people would be around me, and they were wearing sunglasses in the classroom and just kind of doing this and drinking lots of water because they had been involved with a different spirit that night before. I was feeling great. They weren't. Be a light at work. Be a light. We need to wrap this up. This is getting long. Be a light at church. Give when you can. Every dollar counts. We have online giving capability. If you go to our website, servantsheartchapel.com, we have the offering box at the back. You can give of your money, of your time. There's different projects that we have, like this First Responder Appreciation Cookout. If you find a ministry, you're welcome to get yourself involved with. Sean and Emmett are going to be handling the Operation Christmas Child project that we do. We like to do at Christmas time. So, or actually, it happens before Thanksgiving. So they're going to be involved with that. And they're going to kind of lead us to follow suit. We will all participate. Operation Christmas Child, if you don't remember, is we take shoeboxes and put some things in them for children around the world. And these kids who have nothing get this box. And before they get the box, they're told the story of Jesus. And so they hear the gospel and they're given this box. And it has, you know, something fun, something they could really use. So there's lots of things you can do for them. It's a blast. I love it. I love going shopping for the boxes. I probably spend more money than I should because I love buying kids stuff. My kids are old now. They're old. You're old. I can't buy you toys. And that's what I love doing. So buy you toys. So we'll be a light at church. We're going to encourage one. You know, you say, Pastor Darrell, you know, I'm not comfortable with certain things, right? Tim, I'm going to brag on him for a bit. He's going to hate it too. He doesn't like being up front. He hates it, actually. But he does it when I don't have anybody else. But he's found his niche is cooking. He's really good at it. So whenever we have a church dinner, he heads that up. That's his thing. And we can find your thing in the church, whatever that may be. Being a light at church, being a light in our community. Around us. In the stores. I always enjoy when something goes wrong. You're at a store or some place of business and something goes wrong. And you're like, oh, that's okay. No big deal. And you can see the relief in their eyes. Because they're so used to somebody just losing their temper and screaming and, oh, I can't, but I'm going to call corporate. You're horrible. Yeah. Right? We don't react the same. We're a light. We, like that song, Shine, I was talking about. It goes, shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. That's what I want to do. I want somebody to look at me and go, wow, I want that. What does he have that I don't have? Emmett and I were talking about being a light as Christians this morning. And we're a light in Christian marriage. Some of his co-workers were telling him that his and Shina's marriage won't last. It's only last a couple years. And I say, well, I don't know if they were really trying to be mean. That's just the world attitude right now. They don't understand. They can't even comprehend. I really think by the time if the Lord lets us live long enough, by the time we have our 50th, it's going to be one of those very rare things. It's like, wow, how'd you stay together for 50 years? That's incredible. Because of God. You know, for us, the turning point in our marriage, and we struggled early years, when we both decided to take God seriously, that changed everything in our marriage. So we at Servants Heart Chapel try to be a light in this community by setting people free, by feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked. We love the Lord. We love each other. And we serve the world. I challenge each and every one of you to find some way to be a light. Wherever you're at, let's stand.
Thank you for joining us. If you liked this podcast, then hit the subscribe button. Also, take some time to rate us. Feel free to check out our website at servantsheartchapel.org, and you can email us at servantsheartchapel@gmail.com. Thanks again, and have a blessed week.